Blog Talk Radio.
Sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Woman to woman, we so very much appreciate your continued support
We appreciate you continuing to log in to just be involved in what we're doing, because that lets us know that we are doing something that's useful to you as a community. And that's our goal here at Woman to Woman, is to give out useful resources, tools that can help us grow, that can help us stretch, that can help us to walk out our dreams and our visions and our ideas, and to do it together. That's why Woman to Woman is here, is because we are tired of women tearing each other apart and not being that bridge to goals, because that's what we're designed to be. We're sisters, and we're designed to be bridges for each other from that complicated area in our life to that goal that we're trying to reach. You know, God has so designed us to help people birth their dreams, their visions, and their ideas. But there's something about sisters coming together. Amen?
Amen. That is so true. That is so true. And we women have a history of being catty. I mean, I know I was one of the women that always used to say, oh, I would rather hang around with a bunch of men versus a bunch of women, because women have a reputation of being catty. But I thank God that in this season, in this day, in this age, that God is bringing up queens, and these queens are Titus to women. They're teaching the younger women how to be, teaching them how to act, teaching them how to be women of great character and integrity and accountability. And that's what Women to Women is about. It's about encouraging, empowering, and educating our sisters. Amen. So we're excited. We've been on a journey. We're on a journey, an 8-week journey to wisdom. An 8-week journey to wisdom. And last week was our first week, and it started with communication. And we broke down communication, what it means. We spoke about it in the natural. And we also spoke about it in the spiritual. We gave supporting scriptures to what communication meant from a biblical standpoint. Well, we're trying to make it tangible for our listening audience, something that you could grasp, that you could hold on to, and that you could apply. Because what we're learning about wisdom is this. You got people that have knowledge. And knowledge is, you got people that's been to college, and they got their associates, they got their bachelor's, they got their master's, they got their PhD, they got their doctorate, they got all these degrees, and yet don't have common sense, yet don't have God confidence. So all these degrees is great. I'm not taking anything away from education, and I'm not taking anything away from knowledge. But knowledge without application is just a bunch of information. And until you take that knowledge and apply it, that's where wisdom comes in. I don't know how many of you have been looking for a job. It may be years. Most of us have been in our careers for years, and we haven't had to look for a job. And more recently, I've been going through looking at the job sites and looking at jobs that's available. And, you know, they want a degree here and a degree there. But what I'm finding out is that a lot of companies with wisdom are saying, hey, you give me 4 years work experience, and that's going to equate to a bachelor's. Or you give me 2 years work experience, and that's going to equate to an associate's degree. Because the degrees are great. The knowledge is good. But without the experience, if you're not applying it, there's just no wisdom. And companies want people, you know, I could get a degree all day long, but if I got a degree that with no experience, guess what? That means I'm going to have to do a lot of training. That means I'm going to have to do a lot of coaching. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you need somebody to come in there and start doing the job right away, sometimes you don't have the time to coach and train. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And so, again, we are on this 8-week journey to wisdom. And, you know, you heard us open the show talking about women, but men, if you're listening, the show is for you too. Tonight's broadcast, we are going to be talking about commitment. And commitment is a basic foundational principle of wisdom. Many people don't even know that. And so we encourage you to continue along this 8-week journey with us. If you missed last week's show, we encourage you to go back and listen to that show, because each of these different principles are also different levels of wisdom. And again, we're going to be talking about commitment tonight. Now, mind you, I and Coach D, we don't profess to be psychologists. However, we do profess to know a greater source, and that source has been downloading so much information into us, teaching us different lessons and encouraging us to, you know, giving it to us, not just encouraging us, but giving it to us to share with you. So we do hope that you have your pens and your papers ready and that you are actively walking this journey out along with us. And so we're going to break open tonight's show, and we're going to start talking about what we're doing is we're talking about some basic foundational principles and the structure of commitment. And we're the terms and different things that we're going to be saying, it's for you to think on. It's for you to muse with. It's for you to get comfortable with, to chew on, to rake it through how you operate and potentially create some new habits and some new ways of looking at things, some new perspectives. Now, one of the things that I want to talk about what most people go into commitment with, or why there's so many different levels of commitment, is because a lot of people go into commitments feeling disempowered. Sometimes they go into commitments out of guilt, out of helplessness, frustration, fear, envy, anger, self-absorption. And so these are the things that can, when they're ingrained in our commitment and they're operating on a high level within our commitments, it tends to break down our commitments. And I'm going to give you an example of going into commitment out of guilt. Say someone did something for you in the past. They never told you that you were obligated to do something for them in the future, and now you are helping them out with a task, an effort, an endeavor, but you're doing it because you feel, that's obligation. You feel like you're obligated. However, it can be obligation and guilt because you feel like, if I don't do this, you know, I really kind of owe them. And gosh, if I don't do this, they might not be able to get where they need to go in life or get this goal accomplished or get this achieved. And now you're in commitment out of guilt. And so these are the things that we don't want to control the way that we go into commitments. Amen? We want to go into commitments with being able to trust people. We want to willingly go into commitments. We want to have a neutrality when we go into commitments. And when I say neutrality, I mean we're going into commitments out of the benefit of the whole, not just out of self, and not just out of the other person or the organization or the effort that we're dealing with, but out of the benefit of a whole. Because believe it or not, when you say that you're committing to something because it's good for your community, you can always move to a different community. And so that commitment can change. And so when we're looking at commitments, we want to see, how does this benefit the whole? And so we want to, again, trust. We want to be able to reason within our commitments. And we want it to bring, we definitely want it to bring us some sort of benefit. And so think about some of the commitments that you have going on right now in your life, things that you're committed to. And, you know, you hearing the words that I just spoke, does any of those words kind of describe the commitment, some or any of the commitments that you are currently in? Now, people either don't make commitments or they usually fail in those commitments because of those particular feelings or those particular outlooks as it pertains to commitments. And hopefully I'm making sense to everybody who's listening. When you feel disempowered in a commitment, there is no way for you to really fulfill that commitment. When you feel like you have no power as it relates to achieving that commitment. And so we're going to restructure and learn how to grow our commitment, foster a culture around commitment. And a lot of commitments fail because, again, we talked about communication last week. One of the things that people don't really realize about commitments is that it's a growing thing. It's not something that stays the same. It expands. Commitment expands, and it's, and you might as well say it's like a living organism. It expands because you are supposed to grow from one level to the next. And so if your commitment is shrinking, and what I mean by that, you go into an agreement that you think is a commitment. And while you're in that agreement, some things unfold. Like maybe they're saying, okay, when we signed this commitment or when we came into this agreement, I originally needed you to do A, B, C, and D. But now that you're in this commitment and things are growing and things are evolving or beginning to form, they now tell you, well, we need to add LM in, we need to have Z over here, and now you're saying, you know what, I can't do that. I didn't agree to that. I only agreed to A, B, C, and D. These are things that cause commitments to fail because we have, sometimes people have a tendency to think that commitments either stay the same or that they shrink. And commitments usually evolve. And this really pertains to long-term commitments, but when you're going into commitments, most people have a tendency not to know if what does that commitment look like and not even know that this is going to go beyond maybe a certain term. This is going to be long-term. And so I'm kind of explaining, Coach D, basically, you know, sometimes we get into marriages or sometimes we get into relationships or sometimes we get into a job and we say, okay, I'm not willing to do A, B, C, or D because I thought it was only E, F, G, and whatever. However, are we committed to the job? Are we committed to the thing, or are we only committed to self? You know, those are usually defined by self-absorption or something. It involves self to say, I'm not going to commit to the whatever this particular task need or whatever this whole involves. And so we only commit in part instead of committing in whole. And hopefully that makes sense to everybody who's listening. And again, these are ways that commitments fail, that they don't work, is because we don't know that it's supposed to expand. And we don't communicate those things in the beginning. Do you have any questions for me?
I do. First of all, what I want to is, first of all, I really want to do like I always do because I don't want to just, you know, a lot of times we throw words, and because they're common words, we think that people have a common knowledge of them. And what I'm finding is that common sense is not always that common. Mm-hmm. Common knowledge is not that common. What we think everybody should know or understand, they truly don't. And what I'm also finding is that when people don't understand, instead of asking questions to get an answer so that they could consciously make a decision or a choice that leads to their destiny, most people stay quiet. Oftentimes on our shows, Wednesday night as well as Thursday night, after the show I'll get text messages or emails direct messages, and they all say stuff like, oh, my God, that was such a powerful show. It was so great. I had questions, but I didn't know. I was embarrassed, or I was afraid to ask the questions, or I didn't want to be judged, or I don't want to look stupid. And there is no stupid question, first and foremost. Second of all, this is a format then nobody really has to know who you are when you speak, unless you introduce yourself. People don't have to know who you are. I may know, maybe the minister Don may know just by voice recognition, but the audience does. We can't assume. So because we can't assume, and tonight's message is about commitment, and Minister LaDon has already laid a table. She has, but I want to make sure that everyone listening in understands what commitment is. And I'm going to do just a basic dictionary. And the basic dictionary is this. The word commitment, we have commit, commitment. These are all forms of the root word commit. And so commitment is the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, activity, etc. You're committed. Oftentimes the word committed is very known from in marriage, in relation. I'm in a committed relationship. That could be marriage, or it could just be I'm dating. I'm in a committed monogamous relationship. I'm in a committed marriage. We hear that a lot, but it doesn't stop there. You could be in a commitment as a partner in a business. Commitment could be to your children. I'm committed to my children to make sure that I get them through high school and give them all the tools and resources they need to successfully graduate out of high school. That's a commitment. And as a good parent, we keep that commitment. We push our children. We correct them. We give them constructive criticism. We love on them. We discipline them. All these things is part of our commitment as a parent to make sure that they do and be all that they've been called to be. That's a commitment.
And Coach Steve.
And so, yes, ma'am.
I just want to say something while you're there, not to take away anything, but I love that you said that, because when you think about that as an example of how commitments expand or commitments grow, if you have one child, if you have more than one child, your level of commitment is the same as far as getting them to college, but the things that you do might change. And
Amen.
So I just wanted to open up people's ideas to expand and grow and step back out and allow you to finish.
No, awesome, awesome. And then the second part of commitment, as far as the definition, is an engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. Woo! That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
An engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. When you make a commitment to something or someone, it's a commitment. You're restricted. You don't have the freedom to decide, I don't want to be in this commitment no more. I don't want to do this
mm-hmm.
anymore. But oftentimes we see people break their commitment. That's breaking their promise. And we see it because we see so many divorces. You know, we see so many friendships that are broken, that, they were committed to friendship, they were committed to loyalty, that all of a sudden they're no longer friends. They're no longer
mm-hmm.
married. Business partners no longer in business because they broke their commitment. And see, what commitment was never meant to be broken. Commitment is an obligation. I'm obligated and I'm restricted. I'm restricted from the freedom of just doing what I want to do because I'm committed to whatever that agreement was. Amen.
Amen. And I love how you brought that out as well, because when we talk about the way commitments fail, and we talked about self-absorption being one of those ways, people get confused with expectations and demands. In one person's brain, there's an expectation. In the other person's brain, it's a demand, because they're not following those restrictions of, it's not just about self. I can jump in and jump out and give what I want to give, when I want to give, and how I want to give. You get what I'm saying? So I might have an expectation of this is what you told me that you were going to do, but in your brain,
yes.
And I think that's where a lot of people get confused, and that's where a lot of the breakdown comes in when, as it relates to commitment. And I love those definitions. Those were beautiful and powerful.
Amen. So, now that we just got a full understanding of what commitment is as you continue on, Minister LaDon, we could really embrace what you're telling us. We could embrace the knowledge that you're telling us so that now we could apply it. So now the next time we make a commitment, we'll be more serious about it. We won't just ramble. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty of making commitments that I don't keep. Even stuff is simple that you say, oh, don't worry about it, Coach D. You know, I know your heart. But that doesn't matter about what you know about my heart. The thing is that sometimes we overcommit ourselves. We have so much on our plate, and we're trying to do so many things for so many different people that before we knew it, we'd like, oh, my God, I overcommitted myself. Well, to me, that sounds like a logical excuse and explanation. Hey, I already had a commitment. Sorry, but I got to break my commitment with you. But to the person that you're speaking that to, they're like, wait a minute. Hey, I get that you overcommitted yourself. That ain't my problem. That's your problem.
Right?
You know, because you told me this or you told me that. So how do we, Minister LaDon, I'm going to ask you, how do I begin to work on not overcommitting myself so that I could be a woman of my word, especially a woman that's saying, I love God. I'm a woman of God.
Yeah.
And oftentimes in the body, we see more lack of commitment and keeping commitments within the body, which is supposed to be unheard of. So how can we do better at keeping our commitment?
Okay. That's a good question. That's a good question. You know, one of the things that we have to first begin to understand is some of the characteristics of commitment. And so what goes into there is values, what we value, reflection, what are we thinking upon or how do we view our values and how we're upholding our values, being aware, identity, our identity, the identity of the people that we're involved with, and you know, the potential and how to develop our end goal as it relates to commitment. And so when we go into commitment, a lot of times what people don't understand is commitment will cause you to face your fears. Commitment will cause you to face your fears. Well, what do you mean by that, Minister LaDon? You have a commitment of paying someone on time all the time. And maybe you have to come back and say, you know what, I thought I was able to do this, and you weren't able to do it, but you don't make that telephone call. Or you've done something that was outside of your commitment, and you don't have that conversation. And so because commitment is something that you have to grow, it's not something that you just do. It's something that you grow from level to level to level until you become a master at it. These are lessons that you have to learn. These are things that are going to come out in commitment. People think commitment is just perfect and, you know, we say we're going to do this and yes, you do it. But unless you're a master at it, it's not just yes that you do it, because the first thing that we don't do is ask enough questions.
Man.
Ask enough questions. Admit our own mistakes or admit our own strengths and weaknesses before we even go into those commitments. It's good that you want to do something great. It's good that you want to be committed, but want versus do are two different things altogether. And so as we learn, how are we able to keep our commitments? How are we able to foster being good women of our word? Again, these are some basic characteristics of commitment that's going to come out that you're going to have to be aware of. And again, facing your fears, admitting your mistakes, knowing what the goal is, believing in yourself, because a lot of times we may not believe in ourselves enough to achieve that commitment. And so I'm going to take it back to paying somebody on time. Maybe you said, and this has to do with people who are dealing with debt right now in their life. It has little to do with the money that you make and more so to do with how you see yourself. I know I'm stepping on somebody's toes right now, but it has little to do with the money that you make, more so about how you see yourself. Because when you see yourself, when you believe in yourself, some of the things that you're going to start doing is you're going to start mastering how you spend the money going out. Before you even start mastering the money that's coming in, you're going to put a stop loss. You're going to put things in place to stop you from doing things that cause you not to keep your commitment to yourself. Amen?
Yeah.
So when you get into commitments, you're going to stop. You're going to put things in place, things in order that will cause you not to, you know, be aware, to make sure that you're able to keep your commitment. And the first thing is, how do you see yourself? How do you believe in yourself? Another thing is seeking wisdom. Usually we're going into a place that we haven't been before when we're going into commitments, usually. And if you haven't been there before, guess what? You're going to need something that's outside of yourself to learn how to master in this area that you're going into now. And so you want to seek information from the masters. And so I'm going to tell you, when you're going into marriages, a lot of times we'll just jump into marriages. We think that we don't have to have marriage therapy or couple therapy and different things like that. It's good to seek that outside wisdom. Why will you not seek that outside wisdom in order for you to be the best that you can be? All of what you learn may not be, you know, not everything that you learn may be useful to you or relevant specifically to you. But I guarantee you, you will learn some things that you do not know that will help you better operate where you are or where you're trying to go. So seek that outside wisdom and conserve your time, conserve your time. When we talk about getting into commitment, most of the time we are not good stewards of our own time. Oh, I'm going to start going to the gym all the time and making sure I work out, but I'm staying late on my job, or maybe I'm staying helping my child with homework. And I'm not saying these things are bad things. What I'm saying is that we have to learn how to master our time. Maybe you're helping your child with their homework at a specific time for a specific amount of time, and there's someone who can step in and help later. Or maybe there's some help that they can get on their own, and then you step in and help. We try to be all things to all people and nothing to ourselves sometimes. You have to learn how to start conserving your time so that you can be more first to yourself, because then you're strengthening your values, you're strengthening your awareness, you're strengthening your ability to maneuver through your own mistakes, and then you can be more to other people. Because if you can't keep your word to you, how are you going to keep your word to anybody else? And we create this habit of not keeping our word. Amen?
Amen. 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 Minister LaDon, I have a question that's been presented, because we're talking about commitment, and commitment can comprise of many things. You know, like you said, commitment means, you know, is about your word, it's integrity, and we're going to get into that further, so I'm not going to say that. But when is walking in faith foolishness? Example, I believe in the body we get a lot of people who write faith checks, meaning they write a check that they know they really don't have the money for, but for whatever reason, whether they put under pressure to produce or whatever the cause, they write a check in faith. When is that foolishness?
Mm. First of all, if God didn't tell you to do it and it's just a good, it's just sound good, it sounds like a good idea or something that you feel like you want to do, you're not operating in you're not operating in faith. Because when you operate in faith, let's understand faith, because a lot of times we blame stuff on God and we have to stop that, and that's why we're failing in our commitments. Because when it comes from God, there's a seed that's dropped on the inside of us, and it and you can test the spirit of that seed, and you can know that it's from God. You have to be in a relationship with God, and I'm talking about walking in faith. For those who are listening, I'm talking about walking in faith. And so God will put a seed on you inside of you, and then you walk according to that seed that he placed. But guess what? There's things that show up that are attached to what he put inside of you. And so when you're just walking because it's a good idea, things can have the tendency to show up or not show up, and we can have the tendency to get tired, stop moving, do this, do that. And it has nothing to do with the word of God, because we know that the word of God, it does not go from him and go out into this world, and that it's void of what of fulfilling its purpose.
Amen.
And so when there's a faith seed, there's a demand and an expectation. They're one in the same of having to fulfill what it is that is done, or what its purpose is. And so I'm going to give you an example of faith versus this is just something that I want to happen. I want to start a business, and I want to help people who are homeless. It's not my purpose. It's just something that I thought was a good idea, and I'm going to step out in faith. I'm stepping out on my own ability. Everything that's based on me, I'm stepping out on that self-absorption. Everything is totally based upon me, where I am. It's under the restrictions of my circumstances. And we as a people have a tendency to make our circumstances control whatever it is that we're doing. And when we're stepping out on faith, something that we know came from God, it does not operate under those same restrictions. It operates in love. It operates in joy. When you come across not having money, you get creative and do things, and money starts coming. And so I'm hopeful that that helps us to know, you know, when we're operating in faith versus our own thing, or our own desire that we think is a good idea. So I won't necessarily call certain people things foolish, but I will say that know when you're operating in faith. And sometimes we don't know, but that's something that we have to grow for ourselves, because you can't operate in my faith because you haven't been through what I've been through. I can share some things that will help you operate at a different level, but you still have to grow your own faith. Even the word of God that says faith is to have faith like a mustard seed, a seed. If a seed doesn't grow, what does it do? It dies off. It doesn't produce anything. And so faith is something that has to grow. It's not something that you automatically have, and hopefully that helps a lot of people who are saying, why is this not working? Why am I not getting to where I know I'm supposed to be? It's a muscle that you have to grow. It's a seed that you have to grow. If you are not working it, it's not going to do anything for you. You cannot have a seed in your hand and look at it and keep saying, turn into an orange so that I can be so that you can give me nutrients, so that I can be healthy and I can have energy and I can do the things that I need to do. seed, turn into an orange, turn into an orange, turn into an orange. You have to physically put it in the ground. You have to physically water it. You have to make sure it gets sunlight. You have to pull the weeds away. Amen? So faith has to grow just as well as commitment has to grow.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So we talked. And if there's any questions, please do come forward with your questions, you know, to our listening audience. If you're listening and you're in the studio with us, you can dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question, and our team will bring you in so that your question can be answered. And once you've answered your question, you can dial 1 on your dial pad to take you back out of queue and give anyone else the opportunity to ask a question.
Amen. But, what I want to say is, one of the things I want to say, because this message on commitment to me is the beginning and the end. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we as believers particularly, there's so many people that's hurt by the church. I mean, you got a lot of church hurt that's out there. You got people that don't go to church no more because of the pain or the hurt that they experienced while they were in the church. And so commitment is a big one for me. And I've been guilty of not keeping my commitment, and I'm sure we all have been. And so right now I just feel a heaviness because people don't say Coach D didn't keep her commitment. People say, oh, she's supposed to be a Christian and she didn't keep her commitment. Or, oh, she's supposed to be saved and she didn't keep her word. See, that's the way they do it. It's just like people that work in a business. When people work in a business, McDonald's, I'm going to give that because we know that McDonald's is a major billion-dollar corporation. And they have a standard, whether we believe it or not, they have a standard. They franchise, and franchise means that someone else can invest in our business, but they got to follow our rules. They gotta look like us. So it's a stamp mm-hmm. out. It's saying, okay, you Starbucks, McDonald's, Jack in the Box, they may be independently owned, but those owners have agreed through contractual agreement that I'm gonna keep your brand, that I'm going to look exactly the way you want me to look. I'm going to wear exactly what you want me to wear. I'm going to have the same colors. That's exactly what you want me to have. So as a believer, when you say, I am a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior, I believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When we say that, we're a franchise. What we're saying is that I'm going to act because God is saying this is the way this is supposed to look. McDonald's is saying this is the way this is supposed to look. Starbucks, you get the drift. So when we say that we're believers, we're saying I'm going to act like Jesus because Jesus is the example of what the franchise is supposed to look like. So when we say our word, Jesus said God said his word would never return unto him void. That whatever he speaks is going to go out and do what he said it's going to do. And we're supposed to be an example of that. So when we speak our word is supposed to be matter of fact, and I'm not gonna preach, because minister to God, you know, I'll say that for Thursday. Let's keep it real. You know, I'm not trying to get religious on us. I'm not trying to get holy roly on us, because we all have sinned and fallen short. But what I am saying is that we got to be better. We got to do better. We have brought into a franchise, and we got to do better with what we're saying. Matthew 5:37 says, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. In other words, just be a man of your word. Be okay with telling people no sometimes. If you can't do it, it don't sit well with you. Instead of saying yes, just say no. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't risk people being mad at you because people was mad at Jesus. But at least you will be a man. One of the things when you leave this earth, people can say, he didn't do nothing for nobody, but or she didn't do nothing to put nobody, but she was a woman of her word. When she said no, her no meant no. When she said yes, her yes meant yes. So we just got to be more of our word and keeping our agreements. And again, like I said, this is a sensitive area for me, because I would tell somebody in a minute, oh, yeah, I'll call you. I'll call you tomorrow. 3 weeks later, I'm like, oh, I didn't call such and such. But see, me saying, oh, I forgot. Oh, I got busy. Oh, I went through surgery. Oh, I was going through. That don't mean nothing to the person that I made the commitment to, because all they're saying is, hey, I don't care about all your excuses. Okay, yeah, you know, yeah, your dog died. I feel sorry for that. But the bottom line is, you made a commitment and you didn't keep it. You made a commitment and you didn't keep it. And that's why I think tonight's subject matter, Minister LaDon, is so important, because I don't know about everybody else. I'm not speaking for nobody else. I'm speaking for me. It hit home with me, because I'm quick to tell somebody, oh, yeah, I'll call you tomorrow. Or, yeah, you know, let's get together next week. And 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, it hasn't happened. It hasn't manifested. And a lot of times I believe that people fail and they're not meeting their goals. Let me say, they're not meeting their goals. If you're not meeting your goals, you're failing. And if you're not meeting your goals in life, and I think a lot of times people are not meeting their goals because they don't understand the power and the dynamics to keeping their word.
And, you know, one of the biggest
goals.
Yeah, that's so true. One of the biggest things, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I really want to insert this here, is that one of the biggest things that we have to know is, what is the overall end of the goal? And I think we get lost on the steps that we take to get to the goal. And so when we get lost in there and our communication breaks down within those steps, we lose sight of the end of the moment. We lose sight of the vision because we're so focused on the steps. And so maybe sometimes it isn't that I'll call you back next week, rather than I will call you back. You know what I'm saying? And so then that gives us the ability to now keep our commitments or keep our decisions that we've made, instead of you know, a lot of times we feel the need to tag extra on to certain things, and you might not know if you can call back within 30 minutes. You know, my goal is to call you back within 30 minutes. If I don't call you back within 30 minutes, I'll get back to you. And so in making commitments, these are things that we're going to be learning how to now phrase, how to now realistically look at and realistically evaluate, realistically be able to meet our goals. And again, what is the overall thing that we're trying to achieve? Because commitment it's going to take discipline. It's going to take hard work. It's going to take perseverance and tenacity. And it's going to take our will. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Feel like calling her back, so call her back later. I don't feel like answering the phone. Sometimes, and it definitely takes courage. It's definitely going to take faith, and we don't realize that commitment has characteristics. And sometimes people may realize, but they don't realize all of the characteristics that are in commitment. And that's what we're learning about on this show. You know, four things that we have to do as we're learning to be more successful in our commitments. We have to create successful habits. So when we want to achieve something, we have to make sure that we're staying aware, alert. We have to know what it takes to make it happen, and we have to know what it is we want. You have to know what it is you want, because you can't, you know, it's trying to hit a target with your eyes closed. I want to lose 130 pounds versus I want to lose weight.
Amen.
130 pounds will keep you on target versus I want to lose weight. Because when you say 130 pounds, you may go a week without losing weight, but guess what? You're still going to persevere because you have not hit your goal yet. And things are going to change. Things are going to expand, and you're going to allow room for that because you want to hit your 130 pounds versus I just want to lose weight. Oh, I didn't lose no weight. Guess what? I'm stopping what I'm doing. Amen?
Yeah, because there's no commitment. You know, it's funny because when we talk about commitment, I just find it ironic. And, you know, one of the things I like about the dynamics between Minister LaDon and myself in our shows, when we do Wednesday night shows, is we bring some great topics. We oftentimes talk about things that's not being talked about in the body, not in the church, should I say. And I think that people, you know, we need to talk about stuff like this. We need to talk about, why are people writing faith checks? Why are you writing a check that you know that you don't have the money in your bank? You know, did God, like Minister LaDon said, did God tell you to do that, or have you been intimidated into being out of character? Have you been intimidated to not being a person of integrity? The Word of God says as well, and I'm always going to bring the Word of God. And we know that it's real life stuff. This is real life issues that's taking place. We know in the natural there's things that's happening that we got to deal with, you know. And we ain't got time to be playing church or being super duper religious. We just don't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the foundation of everything we do is a foundation. It's a biblical foundation. Because when I say my opinion and Minister LaDon says her opinion, there's only one opinion that stands. I could have my truth, she could have her truth, but the truth that stands is the Word of God. And so in the Word, I find it amazing that when we're talking about commitment, Psalms 37:5 and also Proverbs 16:3 both talk about commit. Psalms 37 says, commit your way, our ways to the Lord, trust in him and he will act. And then Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. And why am I saying that? See, this is the question you should ask. So what, Coach D? Why are you saying that? Why I'm saying that is because when you commit your ways, as the Word of God is telling us to do, to the Lord, and you commit your work and your ways to the Lord, guess what? You're not going to be making commitments that you can't keep. Because you're only going to do what you know God has placed in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit to do, because your ways and your works are committed to him. So if I'm sitting in church and God, and because my work and my ways is committed to the Lord, I'm not going to just do something without consulting with him first. I'm going to be like, okay, Lord, what should I give? You know, in giving, tithe, what should I give? And the Lord, he'll drop in your spirit. How many of us have sat up in church and, you know, let's just say your regular tithe every week is $10. But then all of a sudden you're in church one Sunday and you just know that you're here in your spirit, in your heart, to give 30 or to give 50. Do you ignore that? Or do you be obedient? Because if that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, then that's a faith. Now, you don't know where that 50 coming from, but you know God told you to give 50. Then you give that 50 and be obedient, because God is going to give some provisions to that vision you just heard. So that's, you know, be committed. But that's only when you commit your ways and your works to the Lord, because then he's going to confirm. He's going to give you direction. He's going to give you clarity. When you're confused, when you're not sure, then you go before him, and he's going to confirm. He'll confirm it in his word. He may come to you in a dream, vision, or idea. He may speak to you, or he may speak to other people. And I'm not going to just say any people, but he may speak to your other believers, and they'll speak a word to you that confirms what he's already told you. Yes, do it. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I love how you brought that out. And so definitely you want to make sure that you know that you know that you know that you know when God is talking
Amen.
To you. And so,
yeah.
you know, again, we're talking about the structures of commitment. And when Coach D said that, I really wanted to go back to that commitment has characteristics. And one of those characteristics is values. And so when you are operating, you're committing your ways to God or you're walking according to the path that he's laid for you and you're exercising those values, when you commit your ways, things are supposed to show up, but those values will be inside of you. So no matter what commitments you're in, you're going to learn how to operate according to the overall mission, the end of the moment in that commitment. And so when conflict arises, you're going to learn how to speak during the midst of that conflict. You're going to learn how to not get lost on the goals or the steps rather than stay focused on the mission. Stay focused on the overall goal, the end of the moment. And I say goal, but I really want to call it mission or effort or endeavor. You're going to learn how to stay focused on the overall end of the moment, the mission. What is our mission here for this commitment? And those values are going to drive you. And so you'll learn how to not focus on just the goal, because sometimes goals are not meant to be met. Bruce Lee said, a goal is not always meant to be reached. It often serves simply as something to aim at. And so you might not hit a goal, but as far as the mission, the overall end of the mission, you're always going to hit the overall end of the mission. So I'm saying that because, again, sometimes we get lost on, I said I was going to call her back in 15 minutes, and then we don't call back because now we feel guilty because we didn't call back in the 15 minutes. Call back, because what the real mission was to call her back. It had nothing to do with the 15 minutes. Don't get lost on the 15 minutes. Stay focused on the goal and make sure you stay accountable. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I hear you on that part, and I think that it's important not to get in a habit of not keeping your commitment, but when you know that you missed the mark, so to say, it's okay to acknowledge that. You know, you're supposed to call somebody at 5. Now, don't be mad when you miss your opportunity because you were supposed to call at 5. And at 5 o'clock, you had a business deal that was going to be great. But because you didn't call at 5 and you called at 5:30 or you called at 6, it's still good for you to call and acknowledge, hey, I blew it. Can I recreate my agreement? You know, can we reestablish a meeting time? And sometimes you'll get, you know, people can respect that. I know I'm one that can respect that. Communicate. We said that last week. We spoke about communicate. And a lot of times, like Minister LaDonna said, when people don't keep their commitment, what they do is shut down. Now they try to avoid you. They won't answer your calls. You know, you don't hear from them. They're trying to avoid you because they didn't keep their agreement. They know they didn't keep their agreement. And instead of just acknowledging and taking responsibility to the fact that I blew it, I didn't keep my agreement, I didn't call you, or I didn't do what I said I was going to do, it's better to acknowledge, repent, acknowledge, and be able to walk away from it. You know, that reminds me of why we are in the condition we are in now. I often wonder, what if Adam would have simply said, yes, I ate that darn fruit, and I know I shouldn't have. Can you just forgive me? You know, forgive me. I shouldn't have did it. I did it. I blew it. Can you forgive me? What would have happened? I don't know. Maybe nothing would have changed. Maybe we wouldn't want anything to change. But I wonder what would have happened had he just owned it and not try to blame somebody else and not trying to hide from his responsibility. And that's what we need to do. When we make a commitment and we break our commitment, be willing to own it. I broke my commitment with you. Can I recommit to you? Will you forgive me? But don't get in the habit. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Finish.
But don't get in the habit. You know, my mentor often teaches on the word sorry. And we could get in a habit of saying we're sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And we could get into a habit of saying we're sorry to the point where we become sorry. Sorry individual. Never keeping our commitment. Never reaching our goals. Because we just, everything is, I'm sorry. And so I'm not saying get into an attitude of sorry, but what I'm saying is when you do break your commitment, don't get practice breaking your commitment, but there comes times where it's beyond our control. And when you do, just acknowledge it. Amen?
Amen. And, you know, I really want to add to that, because one of the things I want to say is, again, you have to know what the overall goal is, and that helps you to know what you're committed to. Because when you have a commitment, even if it's to call somebody at 5 o'clock, you know before 5 o'clock if you're not usually you will know before 5 o'clock if you're not going to be able to call them at 5 o'clock. So if I text you at 4:30 and say that I can't call you at 5 o'clock, we need to set up another time. You're still working within the realm of commitment. And so if 5 o'clock comes and then goes, that's when we're breaking our commitment, because our whole effort is we need to come together, we need to communicate, we need to work on our endeavor, or we have this this thing that we need to do. And sometimes that might change, but if you're a person of your word, if you're a person who's in the habit of keeping commitment, you know how to come before timelines even come up. Oh, hey, we have to shift that timeline, or hey, we have to shift this, or we have to shift that. And that's all in the vein of keeping the commitment that you're the overall. What were you calling for at 5 o'clock? Was it just to spend time together? So our real goal or our real commitment is to spend time together. And so because our real commitment is to spend time together, that may shift. But if it was only to call at 5 o'clock and I contact you at 4:30 saying that the phone call cannot come at 5 o'clock, then I'm still operating within the same vein of keeping that commitment. And so I hope that makes sense. You know, if we just simply do nothing to uphold our word, uphold those values, uphold those standards, uphold integrity, that's when we're not keeping our commitment. You know, and I'm going to take it back to, you know, helping your child go to make it to college. And so one child, you might need to help 5 hours every day with their homework. And the next child, it may be 3 hours with their homework. And so you might not be able to hold at 6 p.m., help them with 5 hours. But you might say, okay, we need to wake up at 6:30. We need to break this up in order to be able to do the overall end of the thing, of the agreement or the commitment, which is to get you to college. And these are steps that I need to take. So 5 hours, I need to help you every day. Well, that may be sending you to, you know, sit in front of the computer for 30 minutes. That may be, I need to shift this for this or shift this for that. And I'm not trying to tell people to get crafty with keeping their commitments. What I'm trying to say is, how do we go into honoring our commitments? How do we go into keeping our word? How do we go into making sure that the goal, the mission is achieved? How do we make sure that the mission is achieved? And the steps may change. The steps may evolve. But the mission is to get the kid off to college successfully. And so the things that it takes may have to shift according to the ability that you have at the time. You know, at one point in time, it may be just you. At another point in time, it may be you and someone else. And so together you guys do 5 hours. And so those things might change, but the overall end of the moment doesn't change. And so, you know, in effect, Coach D and I are saying the same thing in a different way, I believe. Coach D may say, no, we're not, you know, but what we're talking about tonight is keeping and honoring your word, keeping and honoring your commitment. And so circumstances may change, but circumstances, we're growing our commitment so that circumstances don't control how we keep our commitment. We have to fight to keep our commitment. And so if I'm unable to call you at 5 o'clock, then my fight is to make sure that I connect with you at 4:30. I connect with you before 5 o'clock to let you know, hey, can we restructure this thing? If by something that is outside of the norm, I have to call you at 5 o'clock, that's when I'm connecting back with you. But my fight is to keep my commitment. And we all have to fight to keep our commitment. We have to develop this insatiable hunger to keep our word, first to ourselves and then to everybody else. And then it's going to become easier. And so, you know, knowing, asking enough questions, knowing your full ability, your capability, is going to be key in being able to keep your commitment. And knowing the identity of the person that you are committed to and with. Because Coach D says she's kind of gracious. If you call her at 5 o'clock, sometimes she might be like, oh, that's okay. But sometimes she may not be okay. Or I may not be okay. You said you were going to call me at 5 and you call me at 5:30. But guess what? Now I'm doing something else. So that line of communication is really one of the key ingredients in commitment. Amen?
And amen. Well, one of our commitments is starting on time and ending on time. So we are at the end. Actually, we have exceeded the end of our show. But I think it was some really great information on commitment. If you did not catch last week's show, feel free to go into the website, and you would be able to listen to last week's show. That would be www.blogtalkradio.com/MCB Network, Woman to Woman, and look for last Wednesday's date. So it would show, it would probably show as last Thursday's date, but it actually would be Wednesday's pre-recorded show. It might be good for you to listen to communication, and then it'll make sense with commitment. And we will continue our journey. We are in an 8-week journey to wisdom, and we truly believe that the topics that we're discussing over the next 8 weeks is really things that we need to operate or master in order to be operating in wisdom. Last week was communication. This week is commitment. Next week, our tag word would be, oh, bear with
character.
Me here.
Character.
I'm sorry. Character.
Character.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one next week, a good one. So we're going to talk about character. And each week for the next 8 weeks, we have something that we're going to deal with: character, and then integrity, accountability, trustworthy, discipline, and then the last week we're going to bring these all together in wisdom. Amen. So
Amen.
We thank you all for tuning in tonight. We thank you for being a part of the show. If tonight's show was interesting to you, please feel free to invite a friend. Yes, our show is called Woman to Woman. We've been doing this show for 3 years, but we do not exclude men. If you are a man and you're listening in, you are welcome. Even though our show says Woman to Woman, our topic matters can encourage, empower, educate any gender, you know, male or female.
Amen.
So you are more than welcome to tune in. Please share with others that you may know could benefit from our show. We look forward to going over character with you next week. And feel free at any time in our show, we open up our lines. If you have a question or a comment about our show, maybe there's something you could add to it. Maybe you have a question with what's being said. Please, at any time, you can dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we could address your question or comment at that time. Amen? So, again,
Amen.
We look forward to you joining us next Wednesday. And if your schedules are open tomorrow on Thursday, our other show, we do 2 broadcasts weekly, Women to Women being 1 on Wednesday, and we do Processing the Pain on Thursday with yours truly, Coach D. So feel free to tune in on Thursdays and Wednesdays. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. Minister LaDonna, do you have anything else you want to close with?
No, you said it all. Thank you guys for joining us. We hope that you will be with us next week. And please go to our page. Leave your question and your comments about the show. Amen?
Amen. Like our page. And we thank you all, and we're sorry for advertisements today has been slammed to none. We do understand that social media had a big glitch of, I believe, Facebook and Instagram that you could not post on all day. They weren't accepting posts. I think they finally got the problem fixed literally probably about 15 minutes ago. So, but up to 15 minutes ago, you could not post anything. The systems were not working right. So if for some reason you did not get the message and you just happened to tune in, we apologize for that technical difficulty. Again, have a great evening. Know that you are loved and appreciated, and we look forward to being with you next week.
Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Sing it again. Woman to
woman,
songs of life we bring, songs of love and songs of joy. Woman to woman, yeah.
Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Songs of love and songs.